Well, as Chris said, my name's Mike. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. My wife and I run the Heroic Leadership Institute, as well as I oversee the small groups and men's ministry here. And I'm just really happy to be able to share with you guys today and continue a series that we're doing on friendships and relationships. We took a little break last week, but we're jumping back into it. So I'm gonna start here. One of my least favorite things in all of the world. That's kind of a weird place to start a series on friendship, isn't it? Anyway, so one of my least favorite things in all the world is actually commercials. Do you guys like commercials? Are you fans? No? Okay, cool. All right, I got the crowd. All right, good. So it's commercials, and it's not that they're like, you know, super bad or anything, but really it's just they're boring and they get in between me and binge watching my favorite TV show. That's why I hate commercials. But really, what it says to me is it talks to me about like our society and our culture and the way that like advertising and marketing is like in my face all the time. It's always being thrown out at me, just being like my senses are just being inundated with information. And if you do a little bit of research on marketing and advertising, you find some cool statistics. The first one that I just want to share with you guys is in the 70s, we would see on average every day about 500 advertisements a day. That sounds like a lot, right? 500 advertisements, that's a ton. But today, we see about 5,000 advertisements a day. 5,000 advertisements. Isn't that a ton? Like, would you have guessed 5,000 advertisements a day? So we, like, all that information, how do we take in all that information? If you look at experts, marketing experts, they say that actually what happens is that we start to have, like, negative reactions to it. That we start to get skeptical and cynical. We start to actually, like, create filters so that we can process the information at our own pace. And when I think about that, I start to notice that that actually happens in a lot of different areas of our lives. And it actually puts me back to when my friend John and I, John's another pastor here, we used to run the college ministry over at UMD, and what we would see is we would go to give away free stuff. And we'd go to a football game, we'd want to give away a Jesus dog, you know, just a hot dog in the name of Jesus, Jesus dog. Yeah, okay, kind of funny, not really. So we would go and we'd have this like booth set up and we'd say, hey, free hot dog, come get a free hot dog. And somebody would come over and they'd kind of give you that look, like, what? Why are you giving away free hot dogs? Like, are you going to poison me? And or should I fill out like a credit card application to get this hot dog? I don't know what to do. And we'd say, no, seriously. Free hot dog. Here you go. Just take it. And we did it, you know, it's just as a funny thing to just say, hey, Jesus' love is free, just like this free hot dog. It's really practical. And so here you go. And you know, your lifesavers, when a line formed, then people would actually trust it. Like if a line was in front of you, there's like this crowd mentality. But the thing is that they would have to see people do it. Like they'd have to see people take the hot dog and eat it and not drop dead a few steps later and realize that it was good and it was okay and there was no strings attached. And in our lives as followers of Jesus, we actually have that same thing going on where we're trying to show the world what it means to experience the love of Jesus. But unless people see it, unless they start to experience it by being friends with us, by being around us, like they're just skeptical of it. They think there's strings attached. They think that there's, you know, something that they gotta do to get it. And I, thinking about this in like an advertising marketing sense, I found this cool article from CBS, and it says this: we want advertising, and we like advertising. Consumers don't hate advertising. What they hate is bad advertising. So I think the challenge that's facing the industry nowadays is how to quit doing all the bad stuff that creates the kind of environment people are resisting and figure out ways to engage people in ways that they find to be informative and entertaining. And that's become our challenge in this super saturated world of advertising and marketing. You see, there's this awesome, scary, slightly confusing thing that God does with his whole marketing plan for his kingdom. And that's the fact that God chooses you to be his marketing plan. He chooses you to show the world what Jesus is all about. And he chooses you to show the world what his love is like. We are God's marketing plan. It's us. It's you and me. And it's only because of the love that Jesus has for us that we're even able to have the loving friendships that we're supposed to have that make people attracted to him, So that's why I entitled the message, God's Marketing Plan, Loving Friendships. Because we, the community of Jesus followers, we are God's marketing plan. So we're going to look at John 13, 34, and 35. Feel free to grab a Bible out of the chair in front of you, the verses up there. While you're looking for it, I'm just going to pray for us. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would just be with us and help us hear how you're wanting us to grow in our love for one another. Lord, would you just speak to every single individual heart here? Holy Spirit, asks that you'd help us be aware of you, be listening to you. And anything that I say that's from you, God, I just ask that it would stick and it would sink in. But God, we just thank you. Thank you for seeing us. Amen. All right, so John 13, 34 through 35 says this. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So step one in this marketing plan is this whole new command thing. So Jesus is talking about love. He's with his disciples, like at the Last Supper. And that's a really big deal. I think we should notice that first, that this is the Last Supper. So these are like Jesus's words like on his deathbed. Like it's really, like aren't words really powerful? Don't you say like what you really, really want to say when you're about to die? And so here he is talking to his disciples, giving them like his last lesson before he goes to the cross. And he says, a new command I give you. And that should jump out at us too. The fact that the God of the universe says, here's something new, here's something you've never heard before, and here's a command that you should do. That's a big deal. Jesus doesn't say it like, here's a new thing, I'm going to tell you a new thing very often. So what's new about it? Because he's talking about love, and don't we see love in the Old Testament? Leviticus 19, 18. It says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. What's up with that? What's the difference here between the old and the new? Well, the key part is just after he said that, he says, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you. It's all about motive. It's all about the motive of our hearts because Jesus loves us. It's not some rule or law or some guilt trip, but it's the fact that while we were still sinners, Jesus loves us. He absolutely loves you right where you're at. Completely loves you. Do you believe that? Or is Jesus' love just about like something that happened 2,000 years ago and then now, you know, it's done, I'm just going to kind of like tough it out now? Like, do you on a continual basis experience the love of Jesus? Because that's what it's about. It's about on a continual basis. Like, he adores you. He loves you. And a little bit later, like the next chapter in the Gospel of John, he says, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Like, it's the type of love that God has for himself. It's perfect love that he has for you. So I'm going to do what I like to call a Holy Spirit timeout right now. A little Holy Spirit timeout. So I'm going to invite you guys to just close your eyes, if you would. We're going to just ask God to tell us how much he loves us. We're going to see if we can experience it. And I invite you to maybe even put out your hands that we're like a holistic being. And so what we do with our bodies, it translates into like some of our emotions and our spiritual sense. And so if you have your arms crossed, like it might mean that you're closing off your heart. So it's good to just kind of put our hands out like we're going to receive something. So Holy Spirit, I invite you to just tell each and every single person here what you think about them. Just come, Holy Spirit. What do you think about me? God, would you help us receive your love? There's tons of things that I'm sure are in the way that we're trying to filter it and we're skeptical. Lord, right now, come and help us feel your love right now. Just come, Holy Spirit. More of you. Amen. So when he loves us like this, it totally changes our motivation. He says that we must love one another this way. I love that he says we must. Like, it's not a counterfeit love. It's not some emotional love. But actually, in the Greek, it's this word agape. It's the agape type love. And so the Greeks had like tons of different words for love. And they had like brotherly love and romantic love. But here, agape love. C.S. Lewis in the book Four Loves would talk about it as the type of love that gives all the other loves substance and strength and meaning, that without this type of love, without agape love, that all the other loves would just be selfish. They wouldn't mean much. And so he goes on to call it charity, or a God-given gift type love, a love that is freely given to you. And this is the important bit, that it's not just freely given, but it's freely given because the giver desires only what is best for the one being loved. It's not about getting something. It's not about looking good or feeling good about yourself or anything like that. But that you only desire what is best for the other person. It's that type of love. That's the type of love that God has for you, agape love. He desires only what is good for you. That's it. And what it produces in us is mutual love and affection for others, because it makes us outwardly focused, right? So a love that only desires what is best for other, that's the type of love. Like, how are you doing with that? When we take our little Holy Spirit time out, like, how do you do with receiving that type of love? Do you take that in? Is that easy for you? For some of us, it's not. And all that means is we need to practice it. That's all it means. We need to be able to stop. You guys realize you can do that. You can just stop at any moment and say, Jesus, would you tell me how much you love me? It's not really that hard. Like, if God sent his only son to the earth, do you think he wants to communicate with us? Are we listening? Are we listening? And just saying, right now, God, tell me, what do you think? Because we need to receive it to give it. So one of the ways to realize if we're kind of receiving it and letting it do something to us and transform us and influence us is, how are you doing loving other people? Because it produces love for other people. Is your love selfish or is it selfless? Is it only at your convenience that you show love? Or is it just freely given all the time? So here's a challenge for you this week. This week, I want you guys to like find a friend or a family member or a complete stranger, I don't care who it is, but find someone to love in a way that totally inconveniences you. Inconvenience yourself for somebody. Not that they think that, you know, oh, now they're like my best friend because they do that, or you get anything out of just totally inconvenience yourself. Take the late night phone call. Take the person out for dinner that, you know, maybe you don't really want to talk to right now, but you know to love them. It would be doing that. Another kind of layer in that is, what about in the church? Like, how are we doing as a community of followers of Jesus? Go ahead, right now, look around the room, left and right. Look at the people around you. Notice right now the people around you. Look around. I see a lot of heads looking at me. Look around. Yeah. Do you know these people? Do you know the people in this room? Now, this is a big room, so it's not bad if you don't know some people. That's normal. That's a fact. But are you opening up yourself to people? Or do we just come on a Sunday and maybe hang out in the lobby and just hang out with our few good friends, and we don't open up our circles to new people? Are we inconveniencing ourselves to show people the love that we have experienced from others and from Jesus? That's our call, to open up our lives to new people. Get to know some people. Know their dreams and desires and passions and help them get there. Let's live for one another. That's really good community. And then the next level, kind of deeper than that, is, what about people that maybe you don't agree on, you know, their theological stances on something? Maybe they go to a different church. They're in a different denomination. Like, how are you doing loving them? Because Jesus doesn't say that they'll know you by your right doctrine. He doesn't say that they'll know you by, you know, that you teach the right thing straight out of the Bible. What he says is they'll know you by your love for one another. Because the world does not care about doctrine. The world has no concept to judge doctrine. What the world sees is, you know, the Vineyard, the Baptist, the Lutheran, the Catholic, the Presbyterian, and on and on and on. It's just one big Christian family trying to follow Jesus, and they bicker and gossip and blah, 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 blah. They see a family divided. How are we loving one another? How are we sacrificing for one another in that love? So that's, you know, that's one of the reasons why here at the Vineyard we, you know, throw a picture up of a church in town. We call them, we ask them, what's going on in your community? What's going on there? Like, how can we pray for you and how can we support you? Because we want to be that type of community, but we need to intentionally seek after that. That's why when we have events and trainings and all those things, it's open to everybody. Because whether you go to this church or not, we want to give it all away. We want to give all of our stuff away. We want to be generous and loving and point people towards Jesus in everything we do. So step two is, what kind of love is this? What type of love is this that we're supposed to live out in our loving friendships? Well, Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you should go love others. So we should probably look at Jesus, right? We're in church. Jesus, good thing. Yeah, okay, sweet. So we should look at Jesus. He's literally saying, I am the example. Look at me. So let's look at Jesus. I broke it up into three different kind of ways that he loves. This is no way an exhaustive list. We could probably talk for hours about how Jesus loves humanity. But these are maybe my three favorites or the three that stand out the most to me. The first one is he loves sacrificially. There is no limit to what he's not willing to give. In Romans, Paul sums it up like this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Romans 8:32. God the Father gave his only son, his most prized possession, to restore you to life, to bring you back into relationship with him. Do we think that wasn't painful? Do we think that didn't cost him something? It was very costly. God's love in action, this God-given gift, agape, was Jesus. And we make this mistake about love. We think that love is all about happiness. And you know, love may result in happiness, but it may well demand pain. And it may well demand the cross as it did for Jesus out of his love. Love is costly. And God's love for you cost him everything. When was the last time you sacrificed for love, for your spouse, or for a sibling, or a coworker, or a family member? When was the last time you sacrificed for them? Because it's that type of love, the deep, healthy, long-lasting, that attractive friendships are made out of and founded on. When we love others, we're seeking to love those who are different from us, who are not like us, the young, the old, men and women. If the church is just young people, we're missing out on a picture of what the whole kingdom is. It's all different ages. If the church is just a bunch of white folks, we're missing out on what a great picture of the kingdom of God is, to have a diverse community of people. We should be leading in those things. We should be loving our cities by doing that. So who are we? Who are we willing to love? And what is Jesus calling you to sacrifice to allow different types of people into your life so that we can love everybody? So the second one is he loves understandingly. Jesus, he understood his disciples maybe better than they understood themselves, because he's talking to them when he's saying these things. So he knew, you know, he's about to die for them. He knew they were going to betray him and run away from him. Those who really love us are those who know us at our worst and love us anyway. That's what real love is. Have you guys ever heard love is blind? You heard that phrase? Yeah? That's wrong. It's totally wrong. Love is not blind. Love is open-eyed. Love isn't about seeing a person the way you imagine them to be, but it's about seeing them for who they really are and loving them anyway. Not just bits of them, but the whole entire person. The heart of Jesus is like that. It's big enough for you. It is big enough for right where you're at. Like Psalm 139, David says that he searches us and knows every anxious thought, everything we've ever done wrong and will do wrong, and he loves you. He adores you. And he paid everything for you. In a book called Becoming Friends by Paul Waldell, he describes it like this. In order to love another well, we must know them. Friends seek one another's good, but to truly do good for another demands that we first take time to know them as other. All of us are different in important ways, and a skill a good friend must have is the ability to recognize those differences and be attentive to them. We cannot practice benevolence toward our friends without trying to know as best we can their special needs, interests, desires, concerns, the likes and dislikes. We recognize and esteem their uniquenesses and take their uniquenesses into account in caring for them. That right there is healthy relationship. And that right there is why we have things like small groups. That's why we have small groups here. Because we want tons of different types of people like coming together. Each small group, we want to be a little snapshot of our community. You know, we have lots of like specific groups, and those are really good, but the big goal is that each of our small groups would be a snapshot of our community. To have people that are totally different than you, and that you hang out with and get to know and support and love and share your gifts with. And so there's about 40 to 50% of people at the Vineyard that go to a small group. And so some of you'll know what I'm going to talk about here, which is, you've ever been to a small group or maybe just a group of friends, and there's just that person who kind of rubs you the wrong way. You guys know? So if you don't know, it's because you're that person. Yeah. Sorry. I'm that person. So there's those people that rub us the wrong way, but the amazing thing is, whether it's the raging liberal that keeps talking about something, or the crazy conservative that's on their, you know, thing that they're always talking about, that they come together and they follow Jesus and they support one another and they pray for one another, and they might poke fun at one another, but they're there with each other. And right now they're in the audience right next to you guys. They're everywhere. Seriously, that's community, guys, that we can be different, but we can love and we can sacrifice for one another and understand one another. So here's a question. Everyone you hang out with, are they exactly like you? So if everyone you hang out with is exactly like you, you're missing out. You're not only missing out some really cool people out there, because you're cool, don't get me wrong, but there's other cool people who aren't like you. You're not the only cool one. So, like, get to know people that are different. And then not only that, but when we do that, you know, we get challenged a little bit. We get outside of our comfort zone a little bit. But it's really good, because then we get to experience the love of Jesus. If we go to him and say, "You're telling me to love this person, so I'm going to try. Fill me up with love." Like, you experience his love. And you see that he sees them in a totally different way than you see them. And you get to start to love people that are different than you. And you experience a part of God's heart. So I'm going to give you guys just a little tip to help you get your friendships that are maybe surface level a little bit deeper. And some of you know what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to go through the Barnabas questions. We had a training about this. But there's 6 questions that'll help you get to deeper levels in your friendships. The first one is, how are you doing? That's a tough one, isn't it? How are you doing? So, and it's not, how are you doing? Good, sweet, next question. No, it's not that type of how are you doing. It's, how are you doing? I'm doing good. Okay, like, tell me more about that. Why so good? What's going on in life? Or what's more typical in Minnesota, how are you doing? Good. Really? No, not really. No, things are hard. I just don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about my feelings. Tell me more about that. You know, that's, anyway. So that's what we do. We kind of push into the questions a little bit. We push into relationship. The second one is, what are you celebrating? Because we get stuck in our stuff. Like, we all got junk going on. We all have hard things that are happening in life. But when we actually ask each other, what are you celebrating? What's a highlight from this week? What's going good in life? Like, when we can do that, when we can help people get to that spot, it gets them out of their stuff a little bit. It encourages them. It fills them with strength. And we can do that for one another. And then that helps them get to the next question, which is, what challenges are you facing? So what challenges are going on in life? Tell me more about that. What else? Those are all key things too. The next one is, what are you going to do about those challenges? Because it's not about you solving things for people. Sometimes we don't want to ask because it's like, oh, then I'm going to have to help them. No, it's, you're just there helping them. If you can help somebody get it out of their head and just help them find one step to take, that's so freeing. If we're stuck in a challenge and we can finally give one step, that's super freeing. The next one is where the rubber meets the road. How can I help? They might say, you know, keep asking me these questions. These are really good. They might say, come help me move. The dreaded, come help me move. I hate moving. It's the worst. But that's an inconvenient way to love someone, right? So how are we asking these questions? The last one is, how can I pray for you right now? How can I pray for you right now? It's not about how can I pray for you later, how can I go home and pray for you this week? No, right now, how can I put a hand on a shoulder, show my support, invite the Holy Spirit, and just pray that you'd be encouraged by all those things that are going good. You'd keep your eyes on Jesus, and that in those challenges, you'd experience the presence of God in them so that you could keep moving forward. It's good, guys. Like, your friendships, your relationships, they'll go to a deeper place if you actually ask questions. For some of us, we're going to have to zip the lips a little bit and ask some questions and listen and be good listeners, and that's okay. That's okay. That's how good relationship happens. All right, next one, the last little characteristic is he loves forgivingly. He was so forgiving. He is so forgiving. Those disciples, man, when he needed them most, they deserted him. They were cowardly in the end. But Jesus never held it against him. He never held that against them. In the end, he restored them. There was nothing he couldn't forgive. There is something about real love that causes us to hurt those that we love the most. It's because it's so vulnerable to love. It's so vulnerable to open up our hearts to family and friends and strangers even. But that fact is why it's so key to have our friendships that are founded on forgiveness. Because a friendship not founded on forgiveness is bound to die. I'm sorry, guys. We will hurt each other. We're not perfect. But if we can forgive one another, we can keep going. We can keep going into good relationship, into deep places, and help support each other. That's why Jesus calls us to forgive. Because when we hold on to unforgiveness, like, it hurts us. It becomes a cancer. It becomes bitterness. And it doesn't just affect us in the relationship with the person that we're not forgiving. It affects all of our relationships. It affects our relationship with God. It'll mess us up. It'll mess us up on the inside if we don't seek forgiveness. So I'm going to do a little Holy Spirit timeout. I feel like Zach Morrison, Saved by the Bell. Timeout. Anybody? No. Okay. One laugh. Thanks, Jenna. So we're going to do a little Holy Spirit timeout. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes again, and I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, would you come right now, and would you put maybe like a face or a name or a situation just in our mind right now that we need to forgive? And Holy Spirit, would you supernaturally put forgiveness in us? We cannot do this without you. Only you can heal us, remove the weight that we're under because of that thing that has been done against us. Father, we give you the IOU for that person. Would you put in us love and hope and forgiveness right now? So come, Holy Spirit. Put more of that in us. Amen. This world would be a fantastic place if it was built more on forgiveness than retribution and revenge and bitterness. Wouldn't it? Isn't that something we could give this whole planet? A people that forgive. That'd be great. All right, step three, if we're doing all those, if we're doing all three of those characteristics of Jesus' love, let's face it, this would be a sweet place. It'd be the best place around. And we're doing it, guys. Like, as a community, we're doing really well, but we always have to kind of keep our eyes on that. We always have to re-engage in more intentional relationship, kind of keep the foot on the gas pedal, as it were. But it comes down to this. This is the reality. That you can come listen to some sermons, you can read some books, you can watch some other people do it. But as individuals who make up the community, you need to do it. You need to be the ones who do it. You have to choose it. Like, will you allow the love of Jesus to so infiltrate your lives, get so deep in you, experience it over and over and over, that you begin to love the people around you with that same love? Will you choose to do it? And then the Twin Ports, like, they look at us and go, holy crap, I want that. That's the type of community. That's the type of love I want. People that love with sacrifice and understanding and forgiveness. because we must be, the Duluth Vineyard must be the best community that anyone has ever seen and ever experienced. If we aren't, we're missing our potential. We're not living up to it. That's our call. That's who Jesus is calling us to be, the most loving people ever that have ever been around. That if we disappeared off the face of the planet, the Twin Ports would miss us. They would miss the experience of our love. And so, you know, getting back to the whole marketing lingo thing, like, do you guys realize, like, you're the billboard of God's love? Like, you represent God's love. So if someone looked at your billboard, what would they see? What do they see? What are they experiencing? What are your coworkers experiencing? What's your family and friends and neighbors? Because when Jesus says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another, what he's saying is that they will see my love at work in you, and they will say, I want that. That's what I want. In an essay titled The Mark of a Christian, Francis Schaeffer wrote this: how does the world know that you are a follower of Christ? Some Christians try to mark themselves off by the clothes they wear, their haircuts, or bumper stickers and logos on their cars. Some of us try to mark ourselves off by our jewelry, the size of the cross we wear, like, or little fish pins. Schaeffer says that Jesus gives the Christian one mark to communicate to the world that they're a follower of his. We have one mark, and that mark is love. That's our mark. So how are you marking yourself as a follower of Jesus? Because what if our whole, like, area, what if Duluth and Superior and Proctor and Cloquet and the Iron Range and Hermantown and Two Harbors and everywhere in between, what if the whole entire place, what if we loved them so much that they were attracted to Jesus? How do we do that? How do we love them so well that they're attracted to Jesus in a language that they understand, in ways that they get and receive his love? Like, what if? Man. You realize that everybody wants this, right? Like, do we realize that people want this love of Jesus? We want to be seen. We want to be loved. We want to be wanted. And if you do, everyone else does. So how are we showing people this? The world needs it. All right, step four, attracted to the love of Jesus. So when people are attracted to this love, what are we supposed to do with it? Well, we give it to them. It's easy as that. It's all Jesus is asking us to do, to give it to people. When they say, I want to be your friend, because they see us being friends with people, you say, yes, come on, be my friend. And what do we do as friends? We share life with one another, right? We share life with one another. So I'm gonna run a scenario. Here's what's going to happen. Tomorrow, you're going to be at work. And before you log into the computer, go to your first meeting or whatever it is, grab a cup of coffee, you run into a coworker. And you say, hey, like, what'd you do this weekend? And they said, oh, you know, I watched the Wild lose. Darn it. And got the boat ready for opening weekend, you know, next weekend, opened up the cabin and hung out with the kids. What did you do? And you get to say, man, I went to church this weekend. I listened to this awesome sermon. That preacher was so good. Man, see, I give you guys permission. You can say that. So, and then you say, you know, in this sermon, we talked about friendship, and it made me think of you, actually, because we talked about what Jesus wants in friendships, and what Jesus wants is people who are forgiving, sacrificial, and understanding, and Jesus wants me to be that to you, and so how am I doing with that? Am I an understanding person? You know, am I a forgiving person? Am I sacrificial in my friendship with you? And they go, oh, man, I don't know, it's Monday, I'm not thinking about anything, and... But seriously, you just communicated the gospel of Jesus to them. You just told them that Jesus wants them to have good relationship, that he sacrifices for them, that he understands them and he forgives them. That's all we got to do. We share life with one another. And we become the best friends that anyone has ever had. But we know people, and some of us here, I bet, are people that have been hurt. You know, we've been hurt by friendships and love and we don't really know what to do. This sounds really promising, but what about the pain? What about the pain that we face and we have faced? And maybe even faced in community and in churches with one another? Well, C.S. Lewis has this really good quote. out of the four loves, he says this about the choice we have when we get hurt. There is no safe investment. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in the casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least to the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all the dangers of love is hell. We have a choice. Our heart can be safe if we lock it up in hell, or if we trust Jesus. What are we going to do? Because I cannot promise you that you will not face pain in friendships. None of us can promise you that you will not find pain in relationships with people, or even at a church, even at this church. We're human. We're imperfect. There will be pain. But Jesus, I can guarantee you this, Jesus wants to love you with such a love and in such a way that you are transformed and healed and all those pains of bad relationships fade away. I guarantee you that. And then he wants to show us how in the middle of that, we can start to love again. We can start to love people. And that's the type of love that we offer this planet. That's the type of love that we offer to other people, a love that transforms a world, a community, a society that is formed on forgiveness and sacrifice and understanding. That's the love of Jesus. So right here, he just redefined it all about himself. He loves to do that. Jesus makes everything about him, but he's perfect, so it works. He loves it. He loves you. And then he wants you to be so transformed by that love that you go out and you give it away, because he knew that if we practiced it here with each other, if we did it here, it couldn't help but leak out into the rest of the world, that we would change this world if we loved like that, and people would get to know him, and they'd experience him, and they'd go out and change the world too. The world cries out for the love of Jesus. Those who don't know Christ, when they see us as a family unit, as a community of people, as individuals together loving one another and all of our differences and uniquenesses, they'll be drawn to it. That's a special thing. Not a community that looks exactly the same and loves each other, that's easy. But the type of love of Jesus that brings people who are different together to love one another in real ways, that's a miracle. And that's what he has for us. So it's a community of lovers that influence the world into encountering the best lover, Jesus. That's who we are. Why don't you guys stand up with me? So we're going to enter a time that we call ministry time here at the Vineyard. And really what it is, it's an extended time of my little Holy Spirit timeouts. Where we just want to encounter the Holy Spirit. And so we do that through worship, but we're also doing that when we pray for one another, when we ask people to help us in our journey and point us to Jesus. And so I'm just going to pray for us to kind of focus us in on maybe some of the things God brought up in you as I was talking. So let me just pray. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would help us be aware of you right now. So come, Holy Spirit. We want to be aware of you. And Father, would you help us receive your love right now? Help us receive it in any ways that we're, I don't know, defending ourselves. Would you help us receive your love? Just more of you, God. We want to know you. Encounter us right now. So if I can have the ministry team come up, please. And these folks have all been trained on how to pray, and they just want to come alongside you and help you just connect with God. They don't do anything weird. They just want to put a hand on a shoulder and support you in your walk. And so there's three things that as I was praying for you this week that I felt like God wanted me to bring up and offer you a chance to respond to him. And that is, the first one is, if you just want to experience God more, like experience that love and really like feel it, I just invite you to come up and have one of these folks pray for you, and they'll just invite the Holy Spirit to come and show up. But it's good that when we get stirred, when you hear me talk about experiencing God, if you're like, I'd like to feel that, that's good that you respond, like you do something with your body, you move somewhere and move towards Jesus. The second one is, you know, if you're feeling that and experiencing that, you just want to give it away. Like maybe you are and you just want some encouragement in that, or you just don't know what to do. And God wants to tell you, like he has something for you to do in giving away his love. And so come up and get some prayer about that. And then the last thing was the whole forgiveness thing. So if you started something with God in the middle of that little conversation that we had, little time for conversation, if you started something there, I just encourage you to finish it with him. I encourage you to come up and get some prayer. At the very least, finish it in your seat. But come up and be supported by community. It's really good for us to invite people into the middle of that. We've all been hurt. We've all been hurt by things, and Jesus wants to put forgiveness in us so that we can go live out that love. So other than that, if you want to get prayer for anything, any physical stuff or financial needs, just come up, get some prayer. We just want to be there for you in whatever situation you're in. So thanks for coming to the Vineyard this weekend, and have a great rest of your Sunday.